to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
So I am Rebecca Bell. I am a licensed practitioner, and I live in this world, as we all do, you know. And I think a lot about love. I think a lot about the interpersonal, that personal expression of love, those fun ones. I was looking and I was telling Andrea, I have all this dog fur on my dress because I love my dog. And so before I left this morning, I had to give a big giant hug to my dog because I love her so much. I love my daughter. I love this community. I love listening to music. I love, you know, we have all this interpersonal, like feel good expressions of love. And those are fun. Like, what are some things that people love? I want to hear some of the things that people love.
Dancing.
Dancing.
Food.
Wine. Yeah. Being together, each other. All of those are these awesome interpersonal expressions of love. What I want to talk about is love as a divine attribute. What I was struck by and what I love is how connected the meditation, the reading, and really your beautiful poem on love. It was really connected. We have this one word, L-O-V-E, you know, I love you, love, but we have so many expressions and words and feelings and all of that that go under that one word. So I want to unravel that a little bit. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this non-personal love, a spiritual and divine idea. This is how Ernest Holmes, or I always think of Io, used to say this. She took that from the kids in teen camp. They call him Ernie. So this is what Ernie says about love. Love is the central flame of the universe. Nay, it is the fire itself. It is written that God is love and that we are God's expressed likeness, the image of the eternal being. Love is self-givingness through creation, the impartation of the divine through the human. Love is an essence, an atmosphere which defies analysis, as does life itself. It is all which is and cannot be explained. It is common to all people, to all animal life, and evident in the response of plants to those who love them. I love them. If you've ever been to my house, you know how much I love plants. Love reigns supreme over all. The essence of love, while elusive, pervades everything, fires the heart, stimulates the emotions, renews the soul, and proclaims the spirit. Only love knows love, and love knows only love. Words cannot express its depth or meaning, and that is from The Science of Mind. I love those words. I really do. Love is a divine aspect of God, and I really, really believe that. And we, as Science of Mind spirit and spirit practitioners, because in this room and in this ether, we are all practitioners, we spend our spiritual lives working with the ideas that God is all there is. We have the type of prayer in our new thought. We use affirmative prayer. We have a five-step prayer designed to help the prayer be convinced of the universal truth, the metaphysical law that governs the universe. And we're going to get a little more into metaphysics a little bit later. Again, Ernie says, if we do not like our outer circumstances, conditions, or our personality, the place to begin to change is right within our own mind. God is good from the start. You don't have to win any presence or power over or convince anyone. God is already convinced. God is already convinced of goodness. God is already convinced of life, flow, and love. The answer to prayer is not out there somewhere. It's in the mental attitude of the one that prays. We always assume the goodness of God as the starting point. So here's a little test. In our affirmative prayer, we have five steps. Step one, does anybody remember what step one is? God is. It's the recognition. So God is. And step two, I am. So we are unified with that God because God is all there is. So therefore, logically, we are one in that God. So I'm going to focus on steps 1 and 2, but it will feel unfinished if I don't recall the last 3 steps. So step 3 is a realization. That's the use of the word, of planting the seed, the word into the law of God. Step 4 is thanksgiving. And that really is to create this feeling inside of us of acceptance, right? We can't be grateful and pissed off at the same time. We can't be grateful and suspicious at the same time. That's what the purpose of the gratitude step is. And then the last one is release, because I'm not going to be like, I want peace on earth. I don't see it yet. Damn it. I want peace on earth. I don't see it yet. Damn, my prayer's not working. That is not the way it goes, right? It goes in that we have more and more and more to do. So back to steps 1 and 2. God is all there is. Acknowledge that the divine force, the divine mind, and divine law is flowing in and around all things. It is omnipresent and the source of all there is. So everything is God. And then step 2, we acknowledge that everything is interconnected and interdependent. Separation is an illusion. We say that we belong to each other. Separation is an illusion. We are one and everything exists in this oneness. God is all there is. Love is a divine aspect of God, which is all there is. Everything is interconnected. Separation is an illusion. That's so nice. And I totally love these words. But then here's my problem. What about this? What is God when the climate change is causing storms that decimate areas they hit, killing people, destroying habitats and homes? What is to love when the sea level is rising? Where's love when people are vilified or worse for expressing themselves or just showing up as themselves? We live in the world, right? For those of you who've taken the foundations class, this exercise will be fairly familiar. And this is the exercise. Look at the headlines. We're assigned this. Look at the head. Who's taken foundations? Who's done this exercise? They ask us to look at the headlines, pick a story, and then try and decide, where is God? Is anybody with me? That's a really hard exercise, right? It's a really hard exercise. And here's the answer: that God is everywhere. And you know what? That's so unsatisfying. So here's what happens. Are you like me and you fall back on the generations upon generations upon generations of conditioning and the human race consciousness that asks, why does God let these things happen? Why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow children to be hurt? Why does God allow communities to be burned down to the ground? This draws me and it draws everybody to focusing on a God out there. My attention wanders and I begin to focus on a belief that God is out there controlling or at least allowing these things to happen. And then this is the part that I, and really we, get distracted by fear. We get called and buy into this notion of a binary notion of God, God, not God, not God, God. And our belief system calls us to know that God is all there is. That is what our belief system calls us to know. And we are all interconnected as one, and that separation is an illusion. So it's hard to reconcile all of that, right? It would be so easy for me to be like, I want to go on a mountaintop and just like not see the conditions of the world. But we live in a world of conditions. We really, really do. But guess what? All of that is perfect and fine and life. Denying human experience is actually completely nonsensical. We are intertwined. And so the experiences of each and every one of us is actually an expression of the workings of God. It is an expression of the workings of the law. And the key is, though, that the conditions aren't the end. They aren't all that is. And you know what else? Conditions aren't the beginning. This is metaphysics, everybody. metaphysics deals with the first principles of things, the concepts of being, knowing, substance, cause, identity, time, and space. We are metaphysicians who make changes in the physical world through the metaphysical, which means the not physical principles. As metaphysicians, we work in principles of mind and really beyond mind and spirit to create powerful and lasting changes in our own lives and the lives of others. This has happened. We are here because we have proved that. As metaphysicians, we have proved the workings of the law. We all have instances of proving, I have changed my mind. Don Henderson says that. When you change your mind, change your thinking, change your life, right? And we all have experiences of that. This is the metaphysical workings of the world. This didn't begin with Ernest Holmes. This didn't begin with Aristotle. This is the way that the world works. We are metaphysicians. Ernest Holmes, however, he taught us that if we do not learn to control our thoughts will control us. I think this is where it gets really, really interesting, though. We talked earlier about the conditions of the world, and we're conditioned to believe that the conditions cause conditions. We believe that my eating badly has caused my pain in my hip, or we believe that some experience over here has caused this. So we believe in the inevitability of things going on in the world. So we just buy that the conditions cause the conditions, and therefore that it's inevitable. But we hear we're practitioners, and we know the truth, and very, very few people do. We know the truth of God and the law of cause and effect, and that first cause is the mind, and the correct order is cause, mind, effect. So love is a divine attribute of God. It is the greatest idea in the one mind. Our work in our spiritual garden of the mind is to plant the seeds of love and then root out every weed of false belief that is not love. And that takes diligent commitment. And here's what Ernest Holmes says about the commitment it takes. And he did say this. It takes practice, meditation, thought, study, intellect, concentration, hope, faith, love, prayer, desire, and work. There is no other way. There is no other way. We're metaphysicians in this room. We've taken a big fat yes to doing that work. We've taken a big fat yes to saying this is love, and everything that is not love, I'm going to identify and I'm going to throw it out, because that is not love, because this is love. And then you know what? Practicing in community is very valuable. And our individual healing can be more profound when we hold space for each other. It's really kind of what love is too, this interpersonal holding space for each other. I see you. I see your totality of you. And I hold space for you. I'm not fixing you. I'm not doing any other kind of thing. I'm just holding space for your expression. So I'm going to do a little plug. I am leading a class starting the beginning of October on mindfulness and personal reflection as a foundation for all of this work. Because actually, all of this work, as Ernest Holmes, this is the work. So we'll explore this more deeply in the class, and I invite and welcome everybody to join me. So it was funny when I heard, it was a Gandhi quote, we must, you know, be the change we want to see in the world, that was in the reading. You said it. So like all over here, because it's right here in my work too. I believe that any change we want to see anywhere in the world can only come from healing ourselves, shifting our perspectives and broadening our own vision of what is possible. Gandhi said it, we have to be the change we wish to see in the world. So let's create that mental equivalent of love in the world. And again, as Ernie says, if we make ourselves receptive to the idea of love, we become lovable. To the degree that we embody love, we are love. This is why human people who love are loved. I'm going to say that again because it's so profound. This is why people who love are loved. It doesn't pay to hate. Hate is a human idea. And love is the divine reality. So I'm going to end today with a practice. We're going to do a meditation practice. The metta, I'm sure people have known what that is, the metta practice of meditation. It's the divine, or it's loving kindness. And this practice of metta meditation helps open your heart to yourself and to others. The practice can also help us to overcome fear, increase concentration, and support a more peaceful state of mind, which is from where we all want to be. So I actually invite you to sit comfortably with a nice tall spine, root your bottom into your chair, and press up through the crown of your head. Take a few minutes to become present by cultivating a slow, steady breathing rhythm. Bring your attention within, perhaps focusing on your heart. We personalize that attention, that love in our heart. And repeat the following affirmation to yourself. May I be at peace. May I be at peace. May I be at peace. And invite somebody now into your consciousness who you love. And silently send them that same affirmation. May you be at peace. May you be at peace. May you be at peace. And now I invite you to bring your attention to someone that you have difficulty with, someone you may not love, someone you may have a hard time with. And send them that affirmation. May you be at peace. And if you're finding some resistance, just notice that with compassion. May you be at peace. Allow your attention to bring in all beings everywhere, silently sending that affirmation to everyone, everywhere. May you be at peace. Now that let that affirmation go and place your attention back into your heart. For the next few moments, simply breathe, relax, and observe the effect of being that love. When you're ready, allow your attention to come back into this room. I love these services so much because we really do share and can experience love and joy with each other. And we can also experience, become fortified with the idea that love is all there is and God is all there is. We can believe that. We can shore up our conscious mind into believing that, because that's where part of the work is. It is in convincing ourselves that this is true, because we are assaulted or experience or see things outside of us that often say, no, that is not the truth. But we know better. We are metaphysicians. We know the truth. Very few people do. So we are the people who say, yes, love is. Those conditions that are out there, I'm going to honor them, because that is going on and people are suffering and the world is suffering. That's just the truth, but it's not all there is. So what we get to do is we get to pick out all of our belief systems where we believe that the conditions are true, and we can throw them away. Because as we know, we are interconnected. And what we do when we root out those thoughts of untruth, those thoughts that don't serve us or humanity, we have opened up everybody's idea of a mental equivalent, because we are all connected. So we can do our stuff over here. I think you were saying that, or somebody said it somewhere, that we can, oh, it was you, Reggie, who was talking about those things, bringing a meal, eating well. Those are changes. Those are the things that we can do. They do interact and we are connected. What little thing I do for myself, what little thing I do for you, when I take out those beliefs, when I root through those beliefs, I have just changed the consciousness of the world. So let's do it. Let's do it with joy, with celebration, and sometimes with tears, and sometimes with anger, and sometimes with shock, but let's still do it. Love is all there is. The working of God as law is the truth. We are metaphysicians. We know this. We have an obligation to hold it, to hold the truth, and to hold that as the way we live. So we know that there is only one force, and we know that we are connected to that one force, that the same God that is in me, is in you, is in that tree, is in that adorable chipmunk, is in the storm and is in the mountain. It is God. Is all there is, and we are divinely connected. And so what I know is the work that Ernest, that Aristotle, that Kant, that Io, that everybody calls us to do is divinely inspired. We know that we are brave enough, we can do it, and we can do it, and we can pick out our false beliefs. We know that. And so with great thanks, I am so grateful for the knowledge of the teaching, the knowledge of this time spent together, the knowledge of creating, like, oh, right, we can do that. Oh, right, we can hear gorgeous songs. And oh, right, we can be together in celebration, in contemplation, in all of it. Thank you. So I release this word into that divine law that will bring to fruition the things we think into it. It is done. It is done. It is done. And so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, ColumbiaCSL.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@ColumbiaCSL.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.